Al Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ayyuhal mustami'un, ma zinna fil kalami an qissati Ka'b ibn Malik, wa ma yustafadu minha. فمما يستفاد من قصة كعب أن المعاناة قد تسبق قبول التوبة. لقد ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه أنه يقبل التوبة ويعفو أنه يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات. فبعض الناس يتصور أن القبول في نفس اللحظة فيطمئن ويتسلى وينسى ذنبه، وقد تخف عليه معاودته وما من شك في صدق توبة كعب وصاحبيه، ومع ذلك أرجئ قبول توبتهم 50 ليلة حتى ابتلوا بلاء شديدا، وضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت، وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم، ثم جاءهم الفرج. فنحن بحاجة إلى التوبة التي تملأ قلب صاحبها ندما وشجا، فتدفعه إلى الطاعة والمنافسة في الخير حتى يلقى الله تعالى وهو على أحسن حال. هذا عمر بن الخطاب لما راجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في صلح الحديبية قال: فعملت لذلك أعمالا. وعمر هنا يذكر ذنبه بعد عقدين من الزمان، مراجعته للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بنود وشروط الصلح يوم الحديبية. فظهر لعمر في بادئ الأمر أن في هذه الشروط إشحافا بالمسلمين، فلذلك راجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال له: علام نعطي الدنية في ديننا. فعاتبه في ذلك أبو بكر. فبعدما تبين لعمر رضي الله عنه ما نتج عن صلح الحديبية من الخير، ندم ندما شديدا كيف أنه راجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيقول أنه يعني عملت لذلك أعمالا. ما زالت هذه القصة ثابتة في ذهن عمر رضي الله عنه بعد زمن طويل، وما زال يعمل لذلك أعمالا تكفيرا لما صدر منه مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذه عائشة رضي الله عنها أعتقد في نذرها 40 رقبة، وكانت تذكر نذرها بعد ذلك فتبكي حتى تبل دموعها خمارها. هذا النذر نذرته على ابن أختها عبد الله بن الزبير، لأنه قال في بيع أو في عطاء أعطته عائشة: لتنتهين أو لأحجرن عليها. فلما بلغ ذلك عائشة غضبت علي وقالت: هو لله علي نذر أن لا أكلم الزبير. فحاول كثيرا أن يكلمها فلم تقبل، حتى توسط إليها ببعض الصحابة وسأل رجلين من الصحابة أن يدخلاه على عائشة، فلما دخل الحجاب وجعل يبكي ويسأل عائشة أن تكلمه، فكلمته. فبسبب ذلك، مع أنها فعلت خيرا، لكن لم تنسى ذلك النذر الذي نذرته على نفسها، فما زالت تتصدق حتى أعتقت 40 رقبة كفارة لما صدر منها، وكانت إذا ذكرت ذلك النذر تبكي حتى يعني تبل دموعها خمارها رضي الله تعالى عنها. إذن هكذا كان حال الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم فيما يرون أنهم قد أخطأوا فيه، كانوا يستشعرون عظم ذلك ويعملون أعمالا عظيمة، أعمالا صالحة كثيرة تكفيرا لذلك.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise due to Allah. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue to discuss the story of Ka'b ibn Malik when he fell behind and lagged behind in the Battle of Tabuk, and when he admitted his shortcoming to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows that sometimes suffering may precede the acceptance of repentance. So if someone repents, sometimes the repentance is easy. Sometimes he has to go through difficulty and suffering before his repentance is accepted by Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts the repentance from His servants and He pardons the sins, some people they think that their repentance is accepted the moment that they repent. And so he feels at ease and he feels content and he forgets about his sin. And so this may make him complacent about sin and then repeating sin and sinning again. And without doubt, having sincere repentance, or no one doubts the sincere repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik and his two friends. And in spite of their truthfulness in seeking Allah's forgiveness and repentance, the acceptance of their repentance was delayed for 50 nights. So the acceptance of their repentance wasn't announced immediately. And they suffered so much, and the earth seemed constrained in spite of its vastness, and their selves became constrained, and then relief. And then relief came after that difficulty that they suffered. So in reality, we are in need of repentance that fills our hearts with regret and sadness. And it must be a repentance that encourages a person to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rush towards doing goodness and to race to goodness, so that a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of forms. So as an example of that, let us look at the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he questioned the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and this story goes when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had agreed to the terms of the Hudaybiyah treaty, they seemed unfair against the Muslims, and Umar radiallahu anhu questioned the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "How could you accept this treaty whose terms are not fair towards the Muslims? Why should we accept lowness for the sake of our religion?" And so later on he realized the error of his ways, and questioning the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I started to do so much good deeds, so much extra fasting and prayers and giving in charity, in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that error of mine. Umar radiallahu anhu continued to feel regret and remorse for his sin even after 2 decades. As well, another story of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she made a vow and she broke that vow, she expiated by freeing not just one a slave, she expiated by freeing 40 slaves, 40 captives. And whenever she would remember her vow and she would feel so bad for the sake of breaking her vow, she would cry until her tears would roll down her face and would make her veil wet. And this goes back to the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, when Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was her nephew and was a governor at one stage, questioned Aisha, or he berated Aisha for her excessive spending of her stipend and giving in charity and so on, that left her in a state of hardship. And he threatened to appoint a trustee over her, so that her spending is regulated by a trustee. And she got so angry with Abdullah ibn Zubayr that she made a vow never to speak with him. And she continued to do that vow, and until Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he found a way to enter Aisha's house in disguise, and then he revealed himself to her because he was her nephew, and he stayed in her house begging her to forgive him until she broke her vow. Even though, and in these type of situations, to break your vow for something good is excused, but she felt so guilty for breaking the vow. And even if a person breaks their vow, one of the expiations, or the first expiation if a person is able and that is available, is to free a slave. She not only freed one, but she freed 40, and she stayed remembering and feeling regret for not the reason of breaking the vow, but just the fact of breaking the vow. She felt guilty about that, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So this is important for a Muslim, that if they commit a sin, they just don't take the issue of repentance lightly. But repentance, true repentance, is when the heart is filled of regret and remorse, and that drives a person to do good deeds and to continually remember that sin, and to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness.
Ajeebun أمر المدرسة النبوية كيف وصلت إلى هذه القمة من التربية المتكاملة الشاملة جميع الأفراد رجالا ونساء وصبيانا وعبيدا. يأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهجر 3 أفراد من الناس فيتفق الجميع على مقاطعتهم، حتى أقاربهم ومعارفهم وحتى نساؤهم، فيعيش الواحد منهم في زنزانة متجولة. هل سمع بمثل هذا السجن الكبير في تاريخ البشرية؟ إن هذه التربية القوية لا تحتاج إلى نفقات ولا إلى جهد أو وقت لكي يطبق قرار من قراراتها، فمجرد كلمة في المسجد تصبح واقعا ملموسا وأمرا ملزما للجميع. فرقي المجتمع يسهل تحقيق الأهداف الكبيرة المنشودة ويقلل التكلفة. وراقب أي قرار يصدر في زماننا ولو كان صغيرا، كم يحتاج من الأموال والوقت والجهد والحملات الإعلامية المكثفة مع العقوبات المالية وغيرها كي يلتزم به، وكم نسبة تفلت المجتمع من هذا القرار. ممن اتبع هذا المنهج عمر رضي الله عنه لما أمر بمقاطعة صبيغ الذي كان يسأل عن المتشابه من القرآن، فنفاه عمر وأمر الناس أن لا يكلموا. إذن هذا كان أسلوبا من أساليب التربية الذي وجد في عصر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي عصر خلفائه. إذن الهجر في العقوبات الشرعية ليس له حد معين، بل حيث تقتضي مصلحة التأديب والتربية للمهجور. إذن لما آتى هذا الهجر ثماره نزلت التوبة من الله عز وجل. لما أثر الهجر في صبيغ ويعني علم أو فقه الحكمة من هجره، هنا أمر عمر رضي الله عنه الناس أن يكلموه. إذن هذا الهجر، هذه العقوبة الشرعية ليس لها حد معين يعني في الزمان، بخلاف الهجر الشخصي الناتج عن خلافات فردية قاصرة فلا يجوز أن يزيد على 3 أيام، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحق لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق 3، يلتقيان فيعرض هذا ويعرض هذا وخيرهما الذي يبدأ بالسلام. أيضا نتعلم أنه يعني كيف كان هذا يؤثر على أصحاب القلوب الحية، يعني هكذا تأثير الذنوب على القلوب الحية. جلس هذان المهجوران يبكيان ليس على الهجر ولا بسبب مقاطعة الناس لهما، ولكن خوفا من ذنوبهما وندما على ما فرط منهما. سبحان الله، يعني المقصود بهذين الرجلين هما مرارة بن الربيع وهلال بن أمية، هما جلسان يبكيان في بيوتهما، فيبكيان على ذنبهما. هؤلاء يعني كما وصفهم كعب شهدا بدر، فهما يعني من الرجال الأبطال الشجعان. إذن يعني رجلان من أهل الشجاعة والبطولة، وشهدوا غزوات كثيرة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يبكيان كما يبكي الأطفال: لعمرك إن هذه لهي التزكية للنفوس والتربية المتكاملة. تجد في زماننا هذا من لم يبكي على خطيئته وذنبه طوال عمره، ولم تدمع عينه على تقصيره في جنب ربه وظلمه نفسه دمعة واحدة. نعوذ بالله من قسوة القلب. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقنا قلوبا خاشعة وعيونا دامعة.
It is amazing the nurturing of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his level of discipline and nurturing reached such a level and was so perfect, it reached every member of society, the men, the women, the children, even the slaves. All were commanded to boycott these 3 individuals, and all the people of the society all agreed to boycott them, even their relatives and their friends, even their wives. So each one of these 3 suffered his punishment alone, as if he is in a mobile jail cell in living in isolation or in solitary confinement, but without any jail, without any bars, free to move, but he still feels trapped. Has anyone heard of such a prison before? Such a huge prison where a person feels isolated and in solitude? This has never happened in human history before. But this is from the discipline the strong discipline of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that nowadays people would need to spend so much money, governments and people in authority would need to spend so much money, so much effort, so much time to enforce any rule of their rules. But it was just one word, one command in the masjid from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was immediately implemented by those who were present and heard the directives directly and from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or those who were absent. The message reached them and they immediately complied. It became a reality and it was binding upon all people to boycott these three individuals. So it shows the high level of this society, that such great things can be achieved, great things can be achieved very easily and with less expense. But you see sometimes decisions that are made by authorities in our time, even if it was a small decision, how much money and time and effort and advertising campaigns, and as well with monetary penalties and other forms of penalties to try to enforce this upon people. And we see as well how much people as well try to evade these directives and orders as well. But see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had nurtured the society to obedience, and that they are all one and no one disputes a command given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this wasn't only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is something that a Muslim does out of religious obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it happened even in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where there was a man called Sabir, and he used to ask about doubtful things in the religion that may stir up some confusion. And so when this man continued to ask about these doubtful matters, Umar radiallahu anhu ordered for him to be boycotted, and he prevented people. He exiled him to Iraq, and he even forbade the people from interacting with him and ordered for him to be boycotted. And that boycott actually affected Sabir, and he started to realize his wrong, and he came back to the truth. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw that boycott had the point of the boycott had taken effect, then he allowed the people to interact with him and to speak with him. So this shows that boycott is one of the Islamically legislated forms of punishment, and it doesn't have a specific time limit, but it is extended. And it is extended in time, in quantity, and in how, depending on the circumstances. And as we have mentioned before, that it is a disciplinary tactic until the person corrects his action. And this form of boycott is different than boycott for a personal reason, because personal disputes, and if a person gets upset with someone and doesn't talk to someone for a personal dispute, then this is limited to 3 days, and it's not allowed to extend for more than 3 days, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said it is not allowed for a Muslim to boycott his fellow Muslim for more than 3 days. If they meet, this one turns away and the other turns away, and the best of them both is the first one of them who begins with the greeting of the other. And this is how, as well, it shows us that those people whose hearts are alive, how sins affect them. Look at the two companions of the three. Two of them, of those who were boycotted, They stayed in their homes crying, not crying because they were boycotted or because of the isolation or because of the treatment, but they stayed in their houses crying out of fear over their sins and guilt, and because they regretted their shortcomings. They were men who were courageous heroes. There were men who are known for their courage on the battlefield, but they cry just as a child cries. Have you ever seen any person like that? This is the nurturing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You find in our times, very rarely that you see anyone cries or feel sadness because of their mistake or their sin. He may sin his whole life and never shed a tear and never worry about his shortcomings and the wrong that he does to his own self. Maybe his whole life he never sheds even one tear.
اعتذر كعب رضي الله عنه لصاحبي فذكر أنه كان أشب القوم وأجلدهم، ذكر أنهما جلسا في بيتهما يبكيان، أما هو رضي الله عنه فبسبب قوته وشبابه كان يخرج إلى الأسواق ويحضر صلاة الجماعة مع المسلمين. في هذا يعني في هذا بعد عن تزكية النفس ونقاء للنفس من داء العظمة والتماس العذر للآخرين وعدم الصعود على أكتاف الناس. هو بيّن لماذا هو صنع ذلك، لأنه كان ذا قوة ونشاط بخلاف صاحبيه. ينبغي استغلال زمن الشباب واستخلاص كل خير فيه قبل أن تتعطل تلك الطاقات أو يحرم من استغلالها، إذ يتحمل المرء فيها ما لا يتحمل في غيرها. كذلك تفريق كعب بينه وبين صاحبيه بكونه أشب منهما يظهر أهمية التفريق بين المختلفين. قليل من الناس من يفرق في التفريق بين نفسه وبين الناس في عمل الطاعة، مع أن عنده من الطاقات والقدرات ما ينبغي المنافسة به في سبل الخير والطاعات. يعني لا تنظر إلى الآخرين، ربما بعض الناس معذورون عن إتيان بعض أعمال الخير، فلا تقارن نفسك بهم، خصوصا إن كنت قادرا وعلى إتيان وفعل الخير. فالمبدأ في الطاعات هو المنافسة، هكذا كان بعض الصحابة يتنافسون على فعل الخيرات. كان الأنصار رضوان الله عليهم، الأوس والخزرج، يتنافسون عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في خدمة هذا الدين. كان عمر يتنافس بعض الأوقات مع أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما. إذن المبدأ والأصل في عمل الخير المنافسة، لا إيجاد الأعذار أنه فلان قاعد، لماذا أنا أقوم وأعمل؟ هذا ليس مبدأ صحيحا في عمل الخير. أيضا من الفوائد من قصة كعب نستفيد أن المسلم عنده ثوابت لا تتغير. المسلم عنده نفس متزنة متكاملة واعية واثقة، فهو في المسجد وفي السوق لا يتغير منه إلا الموقع. فأهل السوق هم أهل المسجد، لم يغرهم تسويق بضاعتهم والمنافسة في بيع تجارتهم بمخالفة أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتكليب كعب بن مالك. هو كان يذهب إلى السوق، لكن الذي وجده في السوق هو نفسه الذي وجده في المسجد، مقاطعة تامة. يعني لم يجد التجار في السوق يختلفون عن المصلين في المسجد، كلهم سواء، مجتمع عنده ثوابت، عنده مبادئ، لا تختلف هذه المبادئ باختلاف المواقع. فكانوا كلهم رضي الله عنهم على أمر واحد، على أمر واحد، لم يخالف منهم أحد. هكذا كان المجتمع المدني في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
From the lessons that we learn from the story of Ka'ab that he narrates, when he's speaking about the other two companions, he mentions that he was younger and more able to cope with difficulty than them. And this shows that he was not trying to make himself better and more righteous than them, but he was finding excuses for them why they weren't attending the masjid, why they weren't going out of their houses. Okay? And because he wants to rid himself and make sure he is not falling for the sickness of greatness and feeling great about himself. And he was justifying and looking for excuses for the other. He doesn't want to use their actions as a way to gratify himself and make himself great. You know, they stayed at home crying, I went out to the masjid, I'm better than them. He didn't do that. But rather, when he saw that he's gone to the masjid, even though he's being boycotted and they're staying at home, he tried to justify and explain the reason of the different ways of dealing with this isolation. Another thing is that we learn that it is very important to make use of our youth. Because as he mentioned that he was young and probably could bear with the difficulty greater. And so it's very important for a person to use his youth and benefit all the or extract all of the benefit he can before his youth expires and his energy and his power, or he is prevented from benefiting from his youth. Because a person is able to cope in his youth sometimes with things that he isn't able to cope at other stages of his life. As well, when we see how Ka'ab differed himself and showed a difference between him and the other companions by saying that he was younger than them, shows that it's important to make distinction between things that are different. Because few people think about making يعني, distinction between things that are different, or making distinction between himself and others when it comes to righteous action. Okay, so a person just compares himself to everyone else. You can't compare yourself to everyone else. Everyone's different. You have to compare yourself to what you are able to do, to your energy and to your abilities. You don't compare yourself to someone who doesn't have the strength that you have and the abilities and the opportunities that you have. And you don't compete with people who don't have the same capabilities of you. That's not a true competition. If you want to compete in goodness, then you compete based on your abilities and your power and your strengths. Another thing that we learn is that a Muslim should always have the same principles and should always be balanced and perfect in every way, and should be aware and should be confident. Whether he's in the masjid or whether he's in the marketplace, he should not change. The only thing that changes is his place, but his principles should be the same. So the people who are in the marketplace are the same as the people in the masjid. They don't, because they're in the marketplace and because they want to sell and buy and compete in making more money, that makes them oppose the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and speak to Ka'ab. So as Ka'ab mentions in his story, is that when he was in the masjid, no one spoke to him and they boycotted him. And likewise, when he was in the marketplace as well, he's being boycotted. It's not as if that those companions were in the masjid boycotted him, but then when he was in the marketplace, they would speak to him so that they can sell their products. This shows the perfect discipline and the good principles that all of the companions had. They didn't make excuses for themselves in breaking the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and speaking to Ka'b. But they upheld the principles of Islam and the obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times, whether they were in the masjid or whether they were in the marketplaces.
نستفيد من قصة كعب أمرا ألا وهو تعاطف الناس مع من يخالطهم أكثر من تعاطفهم مع غيره وإن كانوا في المصاب سواء، فكل من اعتزل الناس في مصابه أو مرضه نسيه الناس، أما من يجتمع معهم ويباشرهم في مجالسهم فإنهم يشاركونه في قضيته ويتعاطفون معه، وإن كان المعتزل أشد مصابا ومرضا منه. كما هناك المثل يقول: قريب من العين قريب من القلب، أما البعيد عن العين ففي الغالب يكون بعيد عن القلب. وهذه وهنا تأتي أهمية الآن وسائل الإعلام المرئية والمسموعة التي تنقل الحدث بالصورة والصوت، فعندما يرى الناس الحدث يتفاعلون معه أكثر عندما يسمعونه سماعا، وإذا كانوا لا يسمعون يعني بالحدث كيف يتفاعلون معه؟ فإذا من يختلط مع الناس ويباشر الناس ويختلط بهم يتعاطف معه الناس أكثر ممن يجلس في بيته ويغيب وتغيب أيضا صورته عن الناس. ففي هذه القصة أهمية الإعلام في اشتهار أي قضية مهما كانت، فمحور القضية هنا كعب تميز عن المخلفين بخروجه إلى الأسواق وشهوده الصلاة ومخالطته الناس مع الصبر، فأصبحت القضية كأنها قضية كعب، ولذلك نسبت القصة إليه ولم تنسب إلى صاحبيه، مع أنهما في الأمر سواء، بل يكاد أن ينسى اسما صاحبيه رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. فإذا الإعلام له دور كبير جدا في إظهار قضايا الناس وفي جلب واستعطاف الخلق. الإعلام مهم جدا في إثارة الناس، لذلك هو في هذا العصر من الأدوات المهمة التي يستخدمها أصحاب الأهداف، من له مشروع يعني يعتمد كثيرا على الإعلام في إظهار مشروعه والتسويق له.
From the lessons that we learn is how the people empathized with Ka'b because he mixed with them. So it shows the importance of a person to mix with people, and the more that he mixes with them, the more that they will empathize with him. And they will empathize with him more when he mixes with them than they will empathize with someone that doesn't mix with them. Even though they may be in the same situation, they have the same problem. The one who mixes with people will get more support from people and more sympathy than the one who doesn't mix with people, even though he may have the same problem. So whoever like stays away from people and he's got an issue, he's got a problem, he's got some trouble, or he's got some sickness, people will forget about him. But the one who meets with people and interacts with them in their gatherings, or he takes part in their issues, then they will sympathize with him. Even if sometimes the one who stays away may be in a worse position or worse sickness. So it shows the importance of interacting with people. And for example, today, as the proverb says, when a person is close to the eye, he's close to the heart.
And when a person's far from the eye, he's far from the heart. And this generally is true. And this is why it's very important to be with people, you know, if we can, you know, especially in this situation, yeah, and in audio and video, so that there could be a maximum amount of interaction with people. As well, we learn from the story is the importance of media and making the story known. And whatever story that may be, whatever issue that may be, whatever message you want to have across media is very important. Because this story, it revolves around Ka'b. And even though Ka'b wasn't the only one, there were three. The two others, what made Ka'b special is that he went out and interacted with the people, went to the marketplaces, he would attend the prayer, he would interact with people, but he would be patient because obviously the people were not interacting with him. So the whole situation, the whole story became revolving around Ka'b. And this is why the story is attributed to Ka'b and it isn't attributed to the other two companions, even though they were all in it together. And they were equal in it. Actually, even most people even forget the names of the other two companions altogether. So this shows as well the importance of media for any project that you have or any message that you want to. And this is for any people, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. They have an issue, they have a message. They use the media to promote it. And this is why it's very important to use media so that it's in the forefront of people's minds. Inshallah, we'll end here today. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.